We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she will choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby or visit preborn.com.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And good morning, Christopher Woodward.
Hello.
And today, what's today, Ed? Can you tell us what today is? It's August. Ed's not even plugged up over here. He doesn't have it. Okay, Chris.
Today is the August 12th in the year of our Lord, 2024.
Poor Ed. For those who can't see, he didn't have his mic. His, there we go. Now you have... All right.
Okay,
there
I'm ready.
Go. You're plugged in now.
When Ed speaks, people listen.
Well, he didn't have his earphones or his microphone on, which was going to be hard to participate, really.
One way or the other, I was going to embarrass myself. But I do appreciate you asking me to make a comment when I had everything unplugged.
I didn't realize. Nor did you.
No. I waited until after you said, "Hey, good morning." I said, "Good morning." Yeah. Yeah. And then I said, I got a minute here because it's tangled. My cord is tangled.
Is that a metaphor for life?
It kind of is.
Your cord gets tangled.
And you know what? You guys make fun of me with the cough drops because I got them all in order.
Yeah.
Having my cord tangled is going to bother me until the break when I can get this untangled, because this is not the way it's supposed to be.
But, so you got a little OCD going on, just a little bit?
Just a little
bit. Have you ever been diagnosed?
No, this goes undiagnosed, at least professionally.
Okay.
My wife has diagnosed it.
Oh. On many occasions?
On many occasions.
All right, hope everybody had a nice weekend. Appreciate you listening to AFR. So the Olympic Games, the Summer Olympic Games in Paris concluded, and what were the final totals?
The totals: United States had the most total medals with 126. We're talking about gold, silver, and bronze, and tied with China with 40 gold medals. But we exceeded the Chinese on silver and bronze to get a 26-9, 35 medal victory.
You know, the Olympic Games, really, the United States, you know, excels every time in Summer Olympics anyway.
Right.
By excels, I mean, usually comes out on top. However, you have to consider, too, the population of the countries.
Yeah.
I mean, do we really beat our chest about beating Angola? You know what I'm saying? Hey, Angola.
Yeah.
We beat you.
In your face.
We beat you 126-4. You know, I mean, so it is sort of relative in that way, because it's the countries of the world, no matter the size, competing in the Olympic Games. But still, the United States athletes did, you know, extremely well and got 40 gold medals, and China got 40 gold medals, as you say.
And to your point, now, China has far more.
1 billion people.
Yeah.
Three times as many as the U.S.
Yes. And Japan, I don't know what the population of Japan, but it's substantially. Chris is going to look it up. They had half the gold medals that we did. So to your point, Australia just wrecked it, I think, in swimming. Australia got 18 gold medals. So, yeah, it is relative because of the size of the nation. You get to draw on a pool of potential athletes, plus the more developed a nation is, the more
resources you can put into it.
Put into it. And you got, you know, you got swimming pools all over the country where kids can learn to swim. You got basketball courts. You got programs in elementary school and junior high and high school and college. All of that causes your talent level to go up. So, good point.
Anyway, Chris, any observations?
The population of Japan is 125 million people as of 2022, the most recent year available.
They have 125 million people.
Yeah, I was surprised by that, too. I guess a lot of it's Tokyo.
I wonder if they're packed in.
Yeah. Wow. 125 million people. The Winter Games, for anybody that's curious, are in 2026 are going to be in Italy for now. I say that because on Friday, there was a story out saying, hey, you may have some trouble getting advance tickets for the 2026 Winter Games. Apparently, some of the venues they plan to have are not available yet, may not be ready in time for the Winter Olympics in 2026. So Austria, Switzerland, and New York are on the...
What?
Yeah, the 2026 Winter Olympics.
Yeah, 2 years from now.
Yeah, there's a big venue they plan to use for several sports that's not ready. It's behind schedule and may not be ready in time for the 2026
game. Listen, that's just Italians for you. I'm just going
to
say.
It's supposed to be in Milan?
Yeah. Yeah, Milan. So Austria, Switzerland, and New York are on standby.
They're going to pitch in?
Mm-hmm. New York, of course, is you being a hockey fan, know something about the 1980 games, I think it was,
yes.
In Lake Placid.
Yeah.
Do you believe in miracles?
That's right. Al Michaels, the famous call.
Yeah. That's where that famous saying comes from, if you're not aware of that, America.
Do you believe in miracles?
Mm-hmm. It's from that Olympic event.
Well, it might have actually been from Israel or something.
Well, I'm sure Al might have borrowed from biblical sources, yes.
I did not know that about you petition the Olympic Committee to give you the Olympics, and then you're not ready.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, apparently you can start getting tickets as early as this November for some packages, and then, like, general tickets go on sale in February, but even those are up in the air. So, bottom line, you might get tickets to the 2026 games, and they may not have them where you're getting tickets to.
Hey, there was a, you know, as there usually is in high-profile games like this, or in this case, you know, the Olympics, there's always a Christian athlete that, you know, gives glory to God for their achievements, I guess you could say. And I watched the comments, and I read the comments of Sydney McLaughlin LeBron. She is a track star.
Right.
And I can't remember exactly what all she won, but she participated in two, I think she won two gold medals. But she is pretty a devout Christian. And she said, I credit all that I do to God, regardless of what happens, He's going to get the praise. Every time I step on the track, I pray, let me be the vessel in which you're glorified, and that's what I want to do. That was one of her comments. She said this too about her open faith in Christ and her public testimony. She said, there's been a lot of talk that I received just about, you know, may not want to talk so much about that. She said, you might lose endorsements, you might lose deals, this, that, and she said, but I mean, I don't live for the approval of people, so I don't have to worry about any of those things. And even if an endorsement or something wants to leave, I know that God will provide for me in the way He sees fit, end of quote.
Well, that's...
Furthermore, she said, so I'm not going to compromise the truth just to make people feel more comfortable. I know that when people do reject it, that is the truth of the gospel, they're not rejecting me, but they're rejecting the truth, and that's why it's okay, and I don't take it personally.
That's phenomenal. And listen, and she's only like 25 years old, I think, already very accomplished in her sport. But at 25 years old, to have that kind of mature take on the relationship between life and the world and your faith in Christ is impressive. Maybe just as impressive as her accomplishments on the I think she was in the hurdles, right, or something. So, wow. Sometimes I've said this before, sometimes young people get a bad rap, in our country. I think that's unfortunate for us to paint with a broad brush. Well, Gen Z is this, millennials are that. We have here at American Family Association, American Family Radio, a lot of outstanding young people who love the Lord, who are smart, who are talented. And when I see people like this young lady,
Sydney McLaughlin,
I'm thankful that God continually raises up generations that know him and that love him. And so I look at people like this with admiration and gives me hope for the future.
Yeah. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio. By the way, the Olympic Games in 2028 will be in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. Summer Olympics in 2028.
Going to be back at the Coliseum.
Did you see the closing ceremony last night?
I did not.
The final act in this I guess was an hour presentation or show, which was a little odd. It's a little French, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, it was a little odd, but they had a purpose and meaning for the choreography and the story. I won't go into it because you would look at me like I'm telling a story while I was on drugs about the gold Avenger. And all. Anyway,
yeah.
But it ended up, the last thing was Tom Cruise rappelling from the top of the stadium into the middle of the stadium. And then he takes the Olympic flag from the mayor of Los Angeles and Simone Biles, the gymnast.
Yeah.
And then he puts it on a motorcycle, and then he rides off through the crowd outside. The symbolism was taking the Olympics from Paris to America, to Los Angeles.
All right.
The symbolism.
I did read about that. I probably will eventually watch that because Tom Cruise, I'm just going to say, Tom Cruise, a lot of times we'll say on the air, you can't beat Father Time. Tom Cruise is getting he's giving it his best shot. He's 62 years old. He does all his own stunts, and they're not stunts like, hey, throw me through this fake glass window.
Right.
It's not those kind of stunts. He's just riding motorcycles off a cliff. And,
yeah.
I tell you what, then we'll move on from this, but after he rappelled down from the top of the stadium, I guess you call it rappelling. He's on some kind of a wire.
Yeah.
But it's still scary as all get out to look at. So he goes down into the midst of the athletes and the people who are on the floor, on the stadium floor, not in the stands. And he's walking through, you know, high-fiving everybody. And I'm sure people were probably told, you know, don't
hug him.
Don't mess with him.
Yeah.
Some woman just gives him grabs him like almost and pulls her to himself and just kisses him.
Yeah.
On both, I think one or both. I mean, it was like that is completely inappropriate.
Yes, but
you shouldn't be violating a man's space like this. And he held his composure though. But I would have been like, what are you doing?
I'm just going to say this, not to defend any kind of sexual harassment or anything like that, folks, unwanted attention, okay? But as a man who frequently has that same thing happen to me.
Oh, come on.
No, okay, no, all right. All right, that's a joke.
Yeah.
But if you're that lady,
right,
you're at the Olympics and you're that close to Tom Cruise,
yeah,
you're taking your shot.
Yeah, well, she did.
You're taking your shot.
She got her selfie, and it'll be, I guess, a viral shot now for her for the rest of her life, whatever happens from now
Even on. If she's fined.
Yeah.
Okay. Even if she had to spend
I was just a little bit surprised that Tom Cruise held his composure then instead of saying what.
It probably happens a lot to him.
He's probably kept from the public
because
of his bodyguards and so forth. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Chris.
There is a lot to go over involving the Donald Trump campaign. It's kind of like a pick your lead here day with the political news. But I'll begin with this one because it is breaking, and we're still getting information about it, albeit in very slow increments. Former President Donald Trump's presidential campaign said Saturday that it has been hacked and they suggested Iranian actors were involved in stealing and distributing sensitive internal documents. In its coverage of this, the Associated Press said the campaign provided no specific evidence of Iran's involvement, but the claim comes a day after Microsoft issued a report detailing foreign agents' attempts to interfere in the U.S. campaign in 2024. Let's also go back to the days immediately following the assassination attempt on Donald Trump. It was reported that Iran had a threat or a plot out against him somehow, some way. So,
what was hacked now?
His basically camp, the servers down to emails. There's even been news reports that they found some sort of dossier of Senator J.D. Vance involving dirty laundry on some other people.
My question is, what can't be hacked?
I mean, the federal government's been hacked before.
Yeah.
Big major corporations, which you think would have.
I remember Marriott got hacked. Do you remember that?
Yeah, there's been all kinds of stuff that's been hacked before. And I think just in talking to some of our own IT people, now we have several layers of protection. Everyone who works here knows how many hoops we have to jump through just to gain access to our internet here or to boot up my computer. There's all kinds of hoops we have to jump through, and IT always tells us we need these layers because there are bad actors out there, and eventually they're going to find a way to worm their way into something, and I'm not sure how you can stop it, like you said.
But so Trump's, what was the response from the Trump folks about that?
I'm trying to find the actual quote here. I don't have any sound.
Anyway, that happened over the weekend?
It did. It happened on Saturday.
Yeah. Well, that IT guy's looking for a new job.
Well, you know they're going to blame somebody.
Huh?
Somebody's going to get blamed for that.
Do you think he brought him into the boardroom and went, "You're fired"?
You're fired.
Yeah. Anyway.
He probably doesn't. Trump probably doesn't do any of that kind of firing.
Very true.
But he probably said, "Get whoever's in charge, get them out."
So what you said, you had some other news on the Trump.
Yes, this is
wow,
big here.
Excited.
The Trump, Donald Trump is suing the Department of Justice over the Mar-a-Lago raid from a couple of years ago at this point, suing them for $100 million, $100 million, claiming it was political persecution there. This is the raid to get inside Mar-a-Lago to find what, if any, classified documents former President Donald Trump supposedly had in his possession. That story just broke this morning as well. A lot of news involving Trump this morning.
I wonder why that took so long. If that was the,
yeah, that's a good question. Because I mean, you're talking about, you know, this is something from years ago, not, you know, last week.
At least wasn't it a year ago or so that the indictments were brought?
Yes,
regarding that case,
late September, early fall.
This 2022 raid.
So almost 2 years.
Yeah,
ago.
Yeah, 2 years. And saying it was unconstitutional, what they did to Trump at Mar-a-Lago. I don't know why it would take a couple of years. Maybe they're just getting all their ducks in a row before they
unconstitutional. In what respect? I wonder what they would argue, because they would have had to get a search warrant from a federal judge.
Yeah, I do not know what the specifics of the lawsuit entail. They're making several charges. Being unconstitutional is one of them.
Well,
abuse,
you know what?
Of power, I think,
that
is
case
another.
Was dismissed. So that is still a story that the Trump campaign is going to go to court over this. But that federal judge down there in Florida dismissed that case.
Yeah, but that may be why they waited. Maybe they waited to try to get that case dismissed. But it really doesn't matter in terms of suing over the behavior, because, you know, for pain and suffering or whatever, damage to one's reputation, those kind of things.
A Trump attorney by the name of Daniel Epstein told Fox Business Network, quote, "What President Trump is doing here is not just standing up for himself. He is standing up for all Americans who believe in the rule of law and believe that you should hold the government accountable when it wrongs you. I will say it is very difficult to sue the federal government and win." So, the
odds they get a lot of that. There's a lot of protection in the carrying out of its duties, the federal government. So the Justice Department, according to this article I'm looking at, has 180 days to respond. and come to a resolution.
What's the old saying? The wheels of justice turn slowly or something like
yes.
that? Court cases can just drag on for years, can't they?
Yes, they can because there's motions
I'm
and
talking about
delays.
All kind of court cases.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's what now?
Are there motions and delays and discovery?
And emotions.
Emotions.
Yeah.
And
emojis. You got all kinds of things.
Sometimes there are emojis
that enter in.
Yeah.
Factor in.
And I know sometimes it takes a long time to find the right emoji.
Right.
So,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it can. It can push the time out there.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Go ahead.
Amid all of the Trump news.
Amid?
Yes. There's also Vice President Harris is out there on the campaign trail trying to convince enough people out there that she's a better choice than Donald Trump in this November election. Interestingly enough, you know, a lot of people, and we've even talked about this on the program, a lot of people have criticized Harris for dodging the media, trying to be very, stick to a script, give teleprompter speeches, don't go off the cuff, because then you make word salad responses and people make fun of you. Fox did some research here and went back and found a video compilation. Well, they found video of Vice President Harris's stops in Wisconsin and Michigan, and found that she is literally giving the same exact speech on the campaign trail. It's almost as if they have parentheses, insert name of state here, in the teleprompter. And evidence of this is going to be in clip 3.
It really is good to be back in Wisconsin.
It is so good to be back in Michigan.
Listen, let me tell you, I am clear. The path to the White House runs right through this state. And listen, I am clear. The path to the White House runs right through this state. I took on perpetrators of all kinds. I took on perpetrators of all kinds and had a summer job at McDonald's. I had a summer job at McDonald's. So hear me, Detroit, when I say, I know Donald Trump's type. I know Donald Trump's type. And are we ready to fight for it? And are we ready to fight for it?
That was on Fox late last week. I think it was on Jesse Waters' program first.
What was the multiple voices?
That was to show that she's ending it the same exact way.
So those were Vice President Harris from multiple speeches, and it's just over one another.
Isn't that what all politicians do? They have stump speeches. They give the same speech everywhere. What exactly was the point of that?
I don't fault her for doing this. I think the point that is being made by probably the Trump team is that the reason why she's doing the Trump speech is not necessarily the reason why other candidates do Trump speeches, which is to hit the same points you want to make in multiple speeches, but it's because they don't trust her to go off script. I'm guessing that's the accusation. Mm-hmm. Personally, I think it's a wise strategy. Whoever's running her campaign is doing a spectacular job of using what strengths she may have and avoiding the flaws she has as a candidate.
That's
so true. I was talking with Adam Suddeth, who's our producer this week, subbing for Brent Creeley. He was mentioning the fact, and I think this is exactly right, that they have kept major events for the campaign spaced out so that they keep her in the media and kind of drown out whatever noise Trump is trying to make.
Yeah.
So, Biden steps down. That's one thing. They wait three beats. Mm-hmm. Kamala does this. She's voted in. You know, all these kinds of things are keeping. They've got the convention next week. They are keeping her 2 days, 3 days, then she's back in the news over something big.
Yeah.
And what they're doing here with keeping her on a strictly regulated speaking tour, very little interaction with the media, if anything, that's smart.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're avoiding her potential flaws where public image takes a hit.
I would agree.
All right, we're going to take a short time out. We'll be back with more of today's issues in just a few minutes. Stay with us.
According to a recent study of hundreds of post-abortive women, 60% of women reported that they would have preferred to give birth if they had received more support from others or had more financial security. And that's where Preborn steps in. Preborn is there for women in their darkest hour, deciding between the life and death of their precious child. You see, the reality is women are being pressured to make this fatal decision and are being told that their babies are just a clump of cells. Preborn welcomes women with God's love and introduces them to the beautiful life growing inside of them, which doubles their baby's chance at life. When you support Preborn, you not only support women, you empower them. Your donation of $28 will help a woman to make a choice that she won't have to regret for the rest of her life and gives her the ultimate blessing, life. Your love can save a life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
So last week, we had the Truth For Youth Bible campaign, you heard us talk about that on a daily basis. It's something we do annually for 1 week. And it coincides with the start of school for most people across the country. And so we wanted to give you a results report from Brother Tim Todd in West Monroe, Louisiana, who is with Revival Fires is his ministry. So Revival Fires and us partner in this endeavor, and we want to give as many free Bibles away to teenagers as we possibly can in 1 week. And Tim, how you doing, brother?
Doing great, Tim. Good to hear from you, and excited about what God is doing through this project and our partnership together.
Okay, give us the results.
As of this morning, before I sent you a text, we were at 58,900. But now, Tim, we are fast approaching 60,000 Truth For Youth Bibles. Normally, we go through the weekend, and at the first of the week on Monday, we'll shut down the free Bible activity. But we wanted to cross over 60,000, and we are coming close to that right now.
So what did you say it is right now?
Right now, we are fast approaching. We were almost at 60,000, not quite.
Well, praise
God.
We
will be before the day is out.
Let's give a hand.
Amen.
Let's give a clap.
Praise God for that. 60,000 Bibles that will be handed out to young people across the country.
Amen.
And may the Lord bless those Bibles, and may the work of the Holy Spirit work in the hearts of our young people.
Yes. Yeah,
Amen.
I was going to say, if we just need, how many more would you say we need? Because
I would say we need about 1,800 or so right now. About 1,100 or so right now. And so, I've kept the online submission form for the free Bible up, Tim.
Right.
So if people still want to go to tfy.org, they can still get a free Bible, one Bible per teenager, per household, to give away to their friends in school.
Okay, what is that website?
It's tfy.org.
Truth For Youth. There you go. Ed, anything else you want to?
Well, Tim, this is I always love this week simply because I've always loved, like all Christians, I'm not an exception here, but love God's word and believe in the power of God's word and the power of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation for all those who believe. And the way this Bible is fashioned with the New Testament and 100 pages at the front on comics of various subjects, that's going to get eyeballs. I mean, kids are going to, when a Christian hands this New Testament to someone who doesn't know the Lord, they may skim some of those comics, and I think it grabs their attention and begins to open up their hearts and their minds to the gospel. So this sounds to me like a God thing, a God idea that the Lord gave you. And over the last, now we're starting on our 24th year, over the last 23 years plus of our partnership, American Family Radio and Revival Fires International Ministry, over a million, I think 1.1 million Bibles have been handed out. That's a lot of seed that's been sown.
Yes, it is. And we're so thankful for all of the young people that have given their heart to the Lord as a result of this vitally important project. And I'm convinced, and I'm so thankful for the partnership, I'm convinced that if we want to bring America back to God, we've got to reach a generation of young people. And that's what the Truth for Youth Bible is doing.
All right, Brother Tim, thank you so much. And give us maybe tomorrow, if we do go over that 60,000, let us know, because we'd like to report that too.
Absolutely will. And that's tfy.org. And we appreciate everybody. I know that we're going to go over 60,000. So I'll give you a good report. Okay. And thank you all so, so very, very much for your partnership.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it. That's Tim Todd joining us from West Monroe, L.A. The other L.A.?
Yes, the other L.A.
Yeah.
I thought you had Louisiana. Lower Algoma for a minute.
Well, I went to, when I was in college at Mississippi State a long, long time ago, back in the 80s, there was a fellow who introduced himself, you know, on campus.
Yeah.
You know, didn't know each other, and we were in a class together, and I said, nice to meet you. I'm Tim. I'm from Tupelo. He goes, I'm Bill. I'm from L.A. I'm going, hey, you sure don't sound like it. You don't sound like a surfer dude to me.
Came all the way to Mississippi to go to Mississippi State.
Yeah, and he goes, I goes, L.A.? And he goes, yeah, Lower Alabama.
I especially appreciate Brother Tim Todd and that New Jersey accent he has.
Yeah. New Jersey?
Yeah, I thought it was Frank Turek for a second. You know,
Tim's an evangelist. That's his profession.
Yes.
And that's what he's done forever and forever. So he's used to speaking loudly and clearly.
Yes.
And so anyway, he is a wonderful man. We love him. And he was the one who came to us with the idea.
Yeah.
That 23 years ago or whenever it was.
Yeah.
And we've been doing this every year at this time since. And have gone over, I think he said 1.3 million. Something like
that.
Wow. Bibles.
That's more than
1.2, I think 1.3 million Bibles that we've distributed in the last 20 since we initiated this project.
Mm-hmm.
And the great thing about this isn't, you know, you don't have to pass a law,
right?
And really can't be stopped. I mean, this is one teenager giving a Bible to another teenager. So.
It's legal, at least right now.
Yeah, exactly.
They also have them. We've talked with him about this. It's not breaking news here, but for about 10 years now, he also has these in Spanish, which is, I think, very welcome because there are a lot of Spanish-speaking people, and that's the only language they speak in the United States today. So you could actually reach somebody with the gospel in Spanish.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. All right, next story, Chris.
Well, we're only 85 days until Election Day.
Oh, it can't come soon enough.
And while, as my mom would say, I'll just be glad when it's over.
I know.
But the reason I bring this up is, you know, a lot of the conversation obviously involves Vice President Harris and former President Donald Trump. But President Joe Biden is still president of the United States. And while Vice President Harris is getting criticized for not doing interviews with media, Joe Biden did a recent interview in which he sat down to discuss a number of things, including why he says he decided to drop out of the race. And I've got some audio here of Joe Biden talking to media here, clip 4.
The polls we had showed that it was a neck-and-neck race. It would have been down to the wire. But what happened was a number of my Democratic colleagues in the House and Senate thought that I was going to hurt them in the races. And I was concerned if I stayed in the race, that would be the topic. You'd be interviewing me about why did Nancy Pelosi say, why did so, and I thought it'd be a real distraction.
Now, I do have some audio of Nancy Pelosi because the scuttlebutt, if you will, is that Nancy Pelosi was one of the high-ranking Democrats that convinced Joe, you got to drop out. We're all going to lose in great numbers here in November if you don't. And so Nancy Pelosi went and did a interview of her own in which she tried to talk up their relationship and how much she says she loves Joe Biden. Clip 7.
Let me just say, in our family, we have three generations of love for Joe Biden. My husband and I, of course, we've known him for a very long time, respect him, love him, and him and Jill, he and Jill are so remarkable, and their family. Our kids have always loved him. I have pictures with him from our children growing up, and now our grandchildren growing up. So we have three generations of love for him.
What was the... Was there context there? Was there a question?
Well, she's been, if Fox and some other news outlets have said that she was one of the high-ranking Democrats that pushed Joe out.
Did she say yes or no on that?
She's not cleared it up, I don't believe, to say
that didn't,
definitively.
That was not an answer.
No, it wasn't, and she will probably never answer that question. This was meant, like you said, it's not an answer. If the question is, were you one of the Democratic Party leaders who went to Joe Biden to convince him to drop out? Her answer is, we love Joe Biden, okay? Three generations of love for the Biden family. Well, the both things can be true at the same time. You can love Joe Biden and at the same time think he's going to be bad for the Democratic Party's chances, even down ballot on November 5th.
Yeah.
So I find it hard to believe that Nancy Pelosi would not have been included amongst the Democratic Party leaders who convinced Joe Biden to step down.
Right.
I'm guessing Barack Obama was in on it, Chuck Schumer, other Democratic Party leaders were all in on it, convincing him, because he would have. He probably would. Joe Biden probably would have lost to Donald Trump on November 5th, and probably that would have the suppressed turnout amongst Democratic voters who were not happy with Joe Biden as a candidate probably would have also hurt down ballot. So politically, it is, a smart move to have removed Joe Biden. I thought maybe that might hurt them a little bit with the general public, since everyone had been saying he's in great shape, his mind is fine, he's sharp as a tack, all those things. They supported him through his triumphant run through the primary process. I thought it might have hurt for them to dump him before the convention, but apparently it hasn't. Mm. So that's a smart political move on the part of the Democratic Party.
To add some better context to the clip I played there, I did find the Fox story, Tim. It says, former Speaker of the House Pelosi said sustaining President Biden's legacy is at the top of her to-do list when asked if there is a, quote, way back to their friendship. Apparently, they've not spoken since he dropped out of the race. And she was asked, is there a way back for your friendship? And what we just heard was her non-answer answer to that question.
Yeah, listen, when she says preserve his legacy, this is when you have someone who's worked at your company for 50 years and it's time for you to go. We're booting you out, but you get a gold watch, okay? In other words, here, this is a sign of our love and deep appreciation for you, but you still got to go. So,
Fox News has a story, and this is the headline: 22 days, Kamala Harris has not held a press conference since emerging as a presumptive Democrat nominee. And it even says liberal Washington Post calls out Harris for dodging the press, saying, and this is the Washington Post, and they say at least Trump has taken questions. End of quote. Back to your point earlier, Ed, I do think that she and her team are keeping her away from any kind of a Q&A with the press, especially and certainly not with anybody that's going to do a pushback against her answers on anything.
Right.
It's bad for the campaign and bad for the country in the sense that we're not getting who this – I think everybody pretty well has seen her in action before, and that's the reason we're not seeing her in action with the press, because she's not very good at articulation and answering questions, especially put on the spot. She's okay out here on the campaign trail where she's doing these events with her new VP choice, but the more you can keep her away from the glare of the media and the questions from the press, the better. you're going to be.
Yeah. You play, like I said earlier, you play to her strengths and avoid her weaknesses. And her strengths are she has a great smile. Okay. Please, ladies, I'm not trying to be sexist here. She's relatively attractive. She's friendly in appearance. She does a decent job making speeches that are scripted, which most politicians, that's what they do.
Right.
Scripted speeches. So all of that gives the appearance of a friendly person. And if you don't kind of dig down deeply to find out what she actually believes, which is socialistic and, you know, pro-state and pro-abortion, all those kinds of things. If you don't have interviews, you can't dig down and find that kind of stuff. Yeah. So they're playing to her strengths. She, listen, before, in front of a big crowd, and I know that's been
who are fans,
who are fans, it's going to look like she's taking the country by storm.
Right.
And I would expect that they are going to try for the next 85 days to avoid as many, I don't know if she can avoid all interviews, but avoid as many as they can. And for those interviews she does do, the campaign is going to talk to CNN or whatever and say, here's what you can ask, here's what you can't. That will be heavily scripted as well.
This might be why she has only agreed to one of the three debates that Trump has said he is open to. Late last week at Mar-a-Lago, during a press conference, former President Donald Trump said he was ready to debate Vice President Harris. He agreed to the September 10th debate on ABC. This is one that's been planned for a while, back when Joe Biden was still running. So that one's on September 10th. But Trump also said that he wanted to debate Vice President Harris on Fox News also this month. And then at the end of the month on NBC News. She has only agreed to one, to my knowledge, thus far, that being the September 10th debate. That's when we'll find out really who we are potentially getting.
September 10th on what network?
On ABC. That's going to be moderators David Muir and Lindsay. I'll look it up here in a second.
Lohan?
No, Lohan. Not her.
Lindsay Lohan.
Good guess, though.
Lindsay
Ed.
Davis. Lindsay so Davis.
I really blew that. Lindsay Lohan.
Did you spend some time in Lower Alabama, too? So, yeah, I'll post a link to the debate coverage there. We do expect at least one debate between these two, and I think we should. We need – America needs a debate between these two
people. Yeah, we do.
I mean, to your point earlier, Tim,
you're
supposed to have interviews and you're supposed to have debates so the American people can make an informed decision. My belief is that the Democratic Party does not want the American people to make an informed decision. They want to have a prepackaged Kamala Harris. This is what you're going to get if she's elected. Now she's basically ripping off Trump's proposals.
Mm-hmm. Yes, with audio.
Yeah, well, good. She's the popular positions that Trump holds. She's just straight out stealing.
Yes. Yeah. To Ed's point here, at the end of, I've got a soundbite that begins with Vice President Harris. At the end of it, you're going to hear her mention her proposal that we shouldn't tax tips for waiters and waitresses, which is something Trump has long been pushing for. Clip one.
When I am president, we will continue our fight for working families of America. To raise the minimum wage and eliminate taxes on tips for service and hospitality workers.
When I get to office, we are going to not charge taxes on tips. There will be no taxes on tips. No taxes on tips.
Are you going to make that an official line item in your economic plans?
Yes.
No tax on tips?
No tax on tips. Very simple. Okay.
To go with the soundbite we just played, I've got another soundbite from Trump campaign Deputy Director of Communications Caroline Sunshine, who has a nickname for the Vice
Sunshine?
President here. Caroline Sunshine, that's her name. Clip two.
Well, when Kamala Harris isn't flip-flopping her positions, apparently her new strategy is just to copy ours. As you noted, President Trump announced his no tax on tips policy on June 9th. That is over 2 months ago. And Kamala Harris just 2 days ago, August 10th, announced that she is now copying President Trump. And of course, you have a liberal mainstream media that's going to allow her to get away with it. However, we will not allow voters to understand anything other than the truth that Kamala Harris and Joe Biden actually have done the exact opposite of saying no tax on tips for the last 4 years. In fact, their administration just this past year under their IRS instituted a new rule to do the exact opposite, to collect more tax on tips, not less.
So people are now referring to the vice president as Copycat Kamala.
Why did she do that? That just, everybody knows that's what Trump suggested about a month ago.
Because it's been hugely popular in states like Nevada, where, yes, where over the weekend
It's a me too. I'll do that too.
Yes, mm-hmm. Because
try to neutralize the advantage that Trump would have in that regard.
And when right. the media is on your side, or at least they'd rather have you than the other guy, the media will find a way to ignore it or massage it to make it. Well, Trump can't be the only person to be in favor. You know, right. They'll explain right. it away.
Explain to me, if either one of you can, Ed, I'll start with you. I think I understand what Trump's talking about now. Kamala Harris is trying to, copy him. No tax on tips. How does that work exactly? I mean,
well, right now, when you get cash tips or tips, off a debit card or whatever, you have to pay taxes on it as part of your income. Mm-hmm. In other words, if you're a server at a restaurant, then they pay you whatever, $3 or $4 an hour, and then you make up the rest of your pay through tips. The government will tax the tips as income. Trump is saying no, in order to help servers who provide a indispensable service to the American public, they are not going to have to pay taxes
okay.
on tips.
Listen, I'm all for people making as much money as they can, and these servers out there, people bussing tables are working in a restaurant situation, and where they get or any kind of service that gets tips, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. Although I'm getting a little tired of being, do you want to pay a tip forced in your face for everything?
I know that's
it's annoying.
Like, it is a major
wherever you go, and then you got somebody checking you out, and then
they turn the little screen around.
And then they look at you with puppy eyes, sad puppy eyes. Like, you're going to tip me? Or
it works with me.
I'm looking at it, and you're looking at it. You're going to tip or no?
Yeah. Because
it works with you, that manipulation?
Yes, it does. Because it used to be, I tip if someone brings my food to my table and waits on me, fills my drink, okay? They're actually doing an additional service.
I agree. And 20% for me.
But, I always pay 20%. And so now they're turning that thing around when you pay. And so if you're taking your own food to your table and getting your own drink, now they want a tip.
Yeah.
And if they're not there, I'll say no. But if they turn that thing around, the puppy eyes work with me.
Right.
My wife thinks I'm a weenie.
I often think of this scene years ago from The Office in which there was a debate amongst characters on whether or not they should tip people. And Dwight Schrute says, why tip someone for a job I'm capable of doing myself? I can deliver food. I can drive a taxi. I can and do cut my own hair. I did, however, tip my urologist because I am unable to pulverize my own kidney stones.
That's a good point. Let me ask you this, though. If you make let's say $50 a night on tips at a restaurant.
Right.
And how does the government know? Listen, I'm not for cheating on your taxes either. Don't misunderstand.
Right.
I'm trying to figure out exactly how this is going to work. How does the government even know how much money you make anyway?
I'm guessing.
Somebody leaves a $20 bill on the table.
I'm guessing it is the responsibility of the restaurant, for example. Let's take that as a example. It's their responsibility to count how much money came in. In some places, everyone puts their tips in the same pot and then
socialism.
They split it.
Well, it's
kind of socialism.
Yeah.
But now I'm not sure how restaurants do that. If they actually try to take an accurate count. I like the idea. simply because I don't like income taxes, period. President Trump has also said, which is something else I agree with, he said no taxes on Social Security. I have to pay taxes on my I don't collect
Social
Security.
Isn't it double taxing?
That's what I think. Mm-hmm.
Because, okay, when you contribute to Social Security, like we're doing now because we're still in the workforce, right? Mm-hmm. You're contributing to Social Security. You're being taxed on that paycheck. You're already paying federal taxes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So when you get a Social Security check, you're being taxed again on that same money that you on that same paycheck.
Yes.
Is that right?
Now the counter argument, which I understand, but there
goes
I still
Ed the liberal.
No.
Warning. Ed the liberal. Straight ahead.
I'm in favor of President Trump's position.
Right.
The counter argument, the government says, yeah, but you paid in Social Security to cover you for 20 years. If you collect 30 years worth, you're actually getting additional. I mean, that's their counterargument that I've heard. I personally don't like income taxes, period. I think it's regressive.
What would you prefer?
I prefer some sort of flat tax, mm-hmm. or some sort of maybe increased sales tax or whatever. I don't like
flat tax would be fair.
Yeah.
Because think about it. God requires 10%.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? Of
right.
your income
yeah.
for Christians who tithe.
And they should.
Yeah.
And, of course, a flat tax would be, a form of income tax. But a national sales tax, if they wouldn't add something else to it.
Yeah. My point is, if God doesn't say, well, if you make over $10,000 or $20,000 right. or $30,000, then we're going to adjust that.
Yes, right.
Okay? It's 10% for everybody from the poorest to the richest.
Yes.
And that's fair for everybody. I just don't know why that principle wouldn't apply to
right.
Our federal government tax.
Starve them. That's what
we'll
I say.
We'll be back in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank our sponsors, including Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies' lives. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.